Let's again read the first six verses of Matthew chapter 2, where the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is it written by the prophets, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Let me read a few more verses. "And Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent him to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." The wise men ask in verse number 2, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Again, the Bible doesn't tell us much about this star, but it tells us that it was a little bit different than most other stars. It appeared at a given time. And again, we talked about it Sunday night. Daniel, in his prophecy, which was written in the Aramaic Chaldean language of Babylon, had prophesied that there would be so many weeks of years, 469 weeks of years, that would transpire between time Cyrus gave the command to go back and rebuild Jerusalem after the people had come out of captivity. There would be that many weeks of years until the Messiah would come. And so these wise men, which were from the east, from Babylon, had calculated the years, and they were looking for some sign that God had kept his promise. And when this star appeared, and again, they were men that searched the heavens. They knew when something new was in the heavens, and when they saw this star, they knew it was a sign from God that the Messiah, that God had kept his promise, that the Messiah was on his way. And so they said, as they came to Herod, and as they came to Jerusalem, and of course they would come to Jerusalem because that was the capital of the Jewish nation. So their expectation was that the new king of the Jews would not be born anywhere else but in Jerusalem. And I'm sure they expected him to be born in the palace where a king should be born. And so they came to the king, to the capital city, and said, "We have seen his star in the east, the star that heralded the birth of the Messiah." And then down in verse 9, we see that this star moved. "And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them." So it moved. Now, I know there are other stars that move. People, I've never seen one, but there are shooting stars that cross the heaven. But this star moved in what you might call a deliberate pace. And its purpose was to lead them to the Christ child. And some people have compared the star to the pillar of fire and the cloud by day, which led the Israelites through the wilderness to the promised land. You remember that during the day, to lead his people, God would send a cloud. And again, when Elijah was dealing with Ahab, and he was telling Ahab after it had not rained for 3.5 years, it was going to rain again. You remember that? And he sent his servant, said, go look into the heavens and see if there's any clouds coming up. I told Ahab it's about to rain. Just see if there's anything happening yet. And so a servant went out there, and you remember, he said, I saw a cloud. It was the size of a fist. I mean, that's what it said, just the size of a fist. And I'm sure Elijah said, oh, we're not going to get much rain out of that. Just the size of a fist. I don't believe the cloud that led the Israelites in the wilderness was the size of a fist. I've told the primaries and the juniors that the cloud that led the Israelites was a big cloud. And that it not only provided direction, it provided shade for the Israelites as they went through the wilderness, because God took care of them. And then that pillar of fire, I don't believe it was just like a candle flame. I believe that pillar of fire was big enough so that everybody could see it. And when they were traveling at night and they didn't have to worry about not being able to see it, that it was big enough. And again, you remember when the cloud stopped and the fire stopped, they stopped and camped. And so I think when they camped and it was daytime, again, the cloud provided them shade. And at night, the fire provided them warmth. I mean, I think it was a big ball of fire. And again, it just speaks to me that when we are following God's leadership and are following him, he'll take care of us. He'll take care of the smallest need that we have. And so this star moved. It provided direction. It led them to where the Christ child was born. And then it says there in verse 9 that it not only moved till it came and stood over where the young child was. It stopped. When it got there, it stopped moving. Now, just think about that for a minute. I mean, that's not how most moving stars work. When most stars move, they keep moving until they just move out. They don't move a little bit and then stop. So this was a unique star. That's the only things we know about it. It appeared on God's timing, just the time that the Messiah was about to be born or was born, to get the wise men there. And again, I mentioned Sunday night, the Bible says in verse 11, and when they were come into the house, so they didn't come into the barn, into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And so, again, I believe the star appeared when Jesus was born, just like, I mean, that gave him the sign, but it took them a while to follow the star to get to where he was. And so he was a young child by the time they got there. And again, it's not part of my lesson tonight, but isn't it amazing how God provides just when we need it? Joseph was about to be warned in an angel. See, Herod got mad. He told the wise men, tell me, when did you see the star? And when you get there, come back and tell me that I was there so I can come and worship him too. Well, when the wise men left and didn't come back, Herod got mad, and he went and killed all the little boys in that region because he was trying to kill the king. He didn't want any competition. And he killed, I think, everybody that was 2 years and younger, because that's what the wise men told him, that they had seen the star a year or 2 years ago, however it was. And so I forgot where I was now. What was I talking about? Anybody remember? Yeah, I remember that, but what was I talking about before I got there? That's all you remember, Dennis? Well, okay. Yeah, Herod was mad. I was trying to think about what I was thinking before I got on that. But anyhow, so the star moved, and then I remember. Isn't it amazing how God provides for us just when we need it? Because Joseph was warned in a dream that this Herod was going to do this. He said, go to Egypt. Well, I mean, they were poor. I mean, they didn't have a lot of money. And so here the wise man comes with these gifts that would finance their trip to Egypt. And so again, God teaching us in the Christmas story that if we'll just wait on him and we'll be obedient to him, he'll give us what we need just when we need it. Okay? Living by faith. We want it ahead of time. We want it in our pocket so that when God says, okay, go. Okay, I'll go. I got it. God says, go. And just about as we're getting ready to go, he says, I'll give you what you need to go. Isn't it amazing how God works? Hadn't changed. Same yesterday, today, and forever. So, only three things we know about this star was it appeared right when it was supposed to appear. It moved to lead the wise men to the Savior. And when it got to where it was going, when it got the wise men to where they needed to be, it stopped. And so, those are only three things we know about the star. But we know one other thing about the star that it will form the message of my Bible study tonight, that it did lead the wise men to the Savior. It led the wise men to the Savior. And what a wonderful message to us, because that's what we as Christians are supposed to do as well. We are supposed to get men and women, boys and girls, to the Savior. God wants us to be like the Christmas star to lead them to the Savior. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, I read this first Sunday night. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness, to Jesus, as the stars forever and ever. Matthew chapter 5, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so tonight, I want to talk about how we should be Christmas stars. I mean, that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to shine so that people can find their way to Christ and find their way to the Savior. Okay, so what did this star do that we should do to be like it? Okay, so I have 3 points tonight. Isn't it funny how preachers always have 3 points? 1, 2, 3. Huh? How many? 3, that's what, just 3, no more. All right, number one, we read in verse 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. If we are going to be like the Christmas star, we must be his. We need to belong to him. And if we're going to point men and women and boys and girls to Jesus, we need to belong to him. So how do we belong to him? It's a two-part process. Number one, he takes us. Number two, we take him. Number one, part number one, he takes us, is already done. It's already done. In fact, here's what amazes me as I was thinking about it earlier in the week. It was done before the foundation of the world was laid. You ever stop and think about that? Before God created anything, he knew you were going to exist. And before God created anything, he had already put together a plan to tell us that he has chosen us, he wants us. Jesus, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And before any mountain was made, before any river was formed, before any star was put in the sky, God knew me and God knew you and had a plan already devised to choose us. To bring us back to him. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has chose us. He wants us to be his. So part one's already done. It's done a long, long time ago. I mean, don't let anybody ever tell you that God didn't want you. That's a lie straight from hell. God wants every single person. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you were predestinated not to be part of God's family. That's not in this book. That somebody made that up, and the devil was behind it. God wants everybody. You say, well, what about Pharaoh? Well, what about Pharaoh? Pharaoh still had a choice to make. I know the Bible says that God hardened his heart, but Pharaoh still had a choice. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he's chosen us. Part one's already done. Now what we need to do, part two, we need to choose him. How do you choose him? Well, the Bible tells us, Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So I believe, just like this book says, I'm a sinner. I believe there's a penalty for my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for me. I believe that if I ask him, he'll save me. I believe that. I believe that. That's what it means when it says, believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I said, I call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I say, Lord, save me. Jesus, save me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I believe you went and died in my place. Please save me. And by doing that, I choose him, and I belong to him. I am his. I cannot point men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ unless I am his. Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Sing the song, "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity." Eternity. Now listen, I can get excited tonight. I know it's Wednesday night. Preacher's not supposed to get excited on Wednesday night, but I could get excited tonight. I am his, and I will be for all eternity. I belong to him. He's chosen me. I chose him when I asked Jesus to be my Savior, and I'm his forever and ever and ever and ever. Don't let anybody tell you that you can lose your salvation. And I know some of you don't agree with me on this, but I'm going to keep preaching the truth whether you agree with it or not. You don't let anybody tell you that you can lose your salvation. You were born into the family of God. And how can a person get unborn? Is that a word, Brother Leonard? Unborn? Okay, I'm taking on that authority. That's the word. Unborn. You can't get unborn. Once you get born, you're born. There ain't no way that you can... Boy, this is good preaching, isn't it? There ain't no way you can get unborn. And so you belong to him. I got candy and tears at my English. But there's no way you can get unborn. We're going to be his forever and ever and ever, and we are his on this earth. And if we're going to point people to Christ, we need to be his. Then number two, verse 9, "When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came to where Christ was." What that star did that we need to do, it was his. And what it did, second of all, it got closer to Jesus. Huh? It got closer to Christ. It was somewhere where the men in the east could see it, and as they traveled, it moved, and it got closer and closer to Christ. And if we're going to be like that star, if we're going to point men and women, boys and girls to Jesus Christ, we need to do exactly that. We need to get closer and closer to him. We need to get to know him better. And as we get closer and closer to him, we're going to be able to point more men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. We need to say like Paul did in Philippians chapter 3, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Paul says, the more that I know him, the more I become like him. And by the way, that's what God's trying to do to all of us as we spend time on this earth, as he puts us through the crucible of things that he puts us through on this earth. He is trying to make us more like his son. He is trying to make us more like Jesus. And if we're going to be like the Christmas star, we need to get to know him better. Now, nobody answer me, but just think the answer to yourself. How do you get to know somebody better? How do you get to know somebody better? You get to know somebody better by spending time with them. By spending time with them. I can't remember if Brother Leonard told me this in a conversation or if you said it in Sunday school. I think you said it not maybe this last week, but the week before, where every night you and your wife have a cup of tea and talk. Spend time together. And I dare say, Brother Leonard, you know your wife better now. Candy, you can vouch for this. Maybe he doesn't, I don't know. But you know her better now than you have. Because every time you spend more time with somebody, you get to know them better. How do we get to know God better? How do we get to know Jesus better? We spend more time with them. Yeah, and a couple of you have held up your Bibles. You knew that's where I was going. You need to spend time in this book. This is the Word of God. It's not the words of man. It's the Word of God. You want to get to know him better? Then just listen to him. We get to know him better as we spend time in prayer. We get to know him better as we come and spend time with his fellow Christians in his place, his house. We get to know him better as we serve him in whatever we do. We get to know him better as we walk closer to him. And I'll just be a little bold tonight. If you're not getting to know him better, you're probably backsliding. Because we as Christians don't stand still. We're either moving forward or we're moving backwards. That's the way it is. We're either moving forward or we're moving backwards. Because if we try to stand still, the devil's going to get a hold of us. And if we're not moving forward, you know, we've heard the best offense or best defense is a good offense. Well, it's true in our Christian life. The best defense that we have against Satan trying to pull us backwards is for us to keep going forward. We just need to keep getting to know him better. Fanny Crosby wrote that song, "I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine." What did Jesus say? Not my will, your will. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. And so, again, nobody answer out loud, but let me ask you. Are you closer to Christ now than you were last Christmas? Do you know him better now than you did last Christmas? Are you spending more time with him now than you did last Christmas? If we're going to be like a Christmas star, not only do we have to be his, but we need to be getting closer to him. Closer to him. And you've heard me say this before. I'll just say it again. You have a preacher that likes to repeat things. You guys all watch reruns, so don't look at me with those faces. The closer you get to him, the more you realize how much he loves you. And the more you realize how less you deserve it. Closer you get to him, the more you realize how much he loves you, and the more you realize how less you deserve it. And then number three. If we're going to be like this Christmas star, we've got to be his. We've got to be moving closer to him. And then again in verse 9, where it says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. If we're going to be like the Christmas star, we've got to come to the place in our Christian life where on some things we stand. We stand. We stand. We need to be consistent in our Christian life. We can't be a Christian today and live like the devil tomorrow. We can't let our new nature shine through today and go back to the old nature tomorrow. We can't live out of the world today. This world's not my home, and then get back into the world tomorrow. And I don't need to tell you this, you already know it. The biggest obstacle that we throw up to keep others from coming to Christ is an inconsistent Christianity. Biggest thing that keeps lost people from coming to Jesus is inconsistent Christians. I mean, you know, the world looks at us, and if we're living in the world, and we're not letting our Christianity shine, you know, like that verse in Matthew says, they're going to look at us and say, well, look, what do they got that I don't got? They're living the same way I'm living. And by the way, if you're living in the world, you're not going to have the joy that God wants us to have and the peace that Brother Gary sang about a moment ago. We're not going to have that. And the world's going to say, well, what's the use of being a Christian? I got the same thing they got. It's when they see a difference. It's when they see our light shine. It's when they see that joy and peace, regardless of the circumstances in our life, that they say, I don't know what they got, but I want that. And so we need to stand. We need to be consistent in our Christianity. Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, Satan is waiting for us to mess up so that he can point to us and say to other people, well, see that? We know he accuses us to God. Because the book of Revelation says one day the accuser of the brethren is going to be cast out of heaven and we're going to rejoice. But he also stands before men and says, see that? See what those Christians are doing? They're no better than you are. You don't need what they got. You got what you got's just as good as what they got. And he deceives them. That's why we need to stand. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, be instant. That word means don't move. It means pick a spot and stand. Don't sway, don't lean, stand. Stand, stand. Let the circumstances of life come, stand. Let the devil throw everything he's got, stand. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't do it in our own strength. If we try to do it in our own strength, we're going to fail. We do it in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And we need to stand. And so, I close tonight with this question. Are you a Christmas star? Do people see your light? And can they find their way to the Savior? Can they say the same thing that the wise men said? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. We have seen somebody that belongs to him. Somebody that's getting closer to him. Somebody that doesn't waver. And we see the Savior because we see them. I've read this little poem to you before, but let me read it as I close tonight. Twinkle, twinkle, Christmas star, sharing Jesus where you are, showing men both far and wide how he lived and why he died. Twinkle, twinkle, Christmas star, sharing Jesus where you are. That's what we need to do. Exactly what we need to do. Glad you were here tonight. Let's stand, have a word of prayer, and be dismissed.